There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks technology.
So we've mentioned that Grego is away, and we have in his place his boss. So it's a great chance that we can tell tales.
I would love to hear. I would love to hear some of what you have to say.
Well, the one I guess the place to start really is Nick generally brings treats, and you come with no baked goods, Abbas.
Okay, which I was not made aware of that.
So telling tales about you to Nick will probably be the thing next week. Abbas Jafarelli is here. It's nice to see you.
Great to be here.
So Nick's boss, if you have any issues with some of the advice Nick has given on Drive Live Talks Tech, this is a chance now. This is the opportunity that we can really land him in it. So get them
Let's do that.
We're going to start with some news about Google. This is from TechRadar, actually. And is this a new operating system? You have to bear with me. Nick is very used to the fact that when it comes to technology, Abbas, I'm not the best. Okay, and so I don't know a lot, so I need it to be quite...
Let's start with, are you an iPhone user or an Android user?
I'm an iPhone user.
You're an iPhone user. Yeah. Okay. So just like Apple updates iOS every year, Android does that too.
Okay.
And Android names its releases after sweets or desserts.
Okay.
Every year there's an alphabet, which goes in order.
Was there an Oreo one recently?
That's right. So
well
Android
done.
O was for Oreo. This year we get P. And rumors are that it's either going to be Popsicle or Pineapple Upside Down Cake. One of those two. We don't know what it's going to be until they reveal it. It's going to be from May 8th to 10th. So pretty shortly. I mean, just under a month now. For that, we're going to get to see the new version of Android. Quite a few rumors around it. It might just use the navigation system like iPhone. If anybody's used the iPhone 10, they have shifted from a home button of going there to swiping left, right, and center. So there are chances that Google might switch to that as well, which is interesting. There's a chance of a very highly refreshed UI. What we have on Android right now, it's called the Material Design, and that's been going on for the last 4 years, 5 years maybe. So it's time for a refresh on that as well. What else do we have on there? Let's see, I've got something over here. So, I mean, Android Wear, which is their watchOS, that's supposed to get updated as well. And finally, Gmail is supposed to get updated as well with the brand new design.
Well, Gmail's supposed to be updated, what, the end of this month, I think?
So
we see a refreshed?
They're saying that at Google I.O. is when they're going to reveal it.
Okay, so a little bit longer than that. I mean, the thing is, it seems that I'm an Android user and have been for quite a long time, but it seems like in the last, particularly in the last year or two, Nougat to Oreo, for example, the previous iteration of the system, it didn't, cosmetically it was...
It was pretty much the same. No, it has been the same for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So this time we're expecting a big change in the UI, and I'm hoping for that too. A lot of companies like Samsung or Huawei or LG, that's how they differentiate themselves between different Android handsets. They bring in their own flavor, and I think, for example, Samsung, I think, now has a better user interface than stock Google itself. So, you know, maybe it's time for Google to up things up a little bit.
That's a contentious statement.
We were talking about this yesterday on The Last Word, about Gmail introducing emails that can self-destruct.
That's
right. Or that will be able to self-destruct.
That's right,
obviously this is likely to come in then when this is released.
Yeah, absolutely. There are quite a few new features that they're supposed to bring in into the new version of Gmail. So snoozing email is another one of them, where if you get an email and you want to be reminded of it later, not right now, just snooze it. It disappears from your inbox, comes back 3 days or 5 days or whatever time it is that you kind of set up. They're also going to have inline attachments. So when you're scrolling through your email list and there's an attachment, it's going to show right there on the list instead of you trying to click open the email and then sort of going into the attachment. So lots of nifty little features. There's a email client that Google makes. It's called Inbox by Gmail or Inbox by Google. So they're kind of borrowing a lot of things from there. This was released about 3 years back. You know, there's lots of innovation expected.
Because there are little things in Gmail that are not having a viewer for attachments in Gmail in the same way as you do in Outlook, for example.
Right.
It sounds like the tiniest of criticisms, but it's a really handy thing to just click up comes your document.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Google has been listening. Gmail looks exactly like it did, about 10 years ago since it was released. I'm hoping that there's some good stuff this time.
How do you anticipate the reception to this? Because the one thing we do know is that people really don't like change. None of us do. We all say we do, but do we really? Do people want this?
You know, the thing is that it's still going to look like Gmail at the end of the day. So, I mean, when you look at some... It's okay, well, what's the best advice? You look at a Porsche, and you instantly know it's a Porsche, even if you look at a Porsche that's 50 years old or 40 years old, right? Mm. It's the same car. It's tweaked to match today's design. So I think that's what they're going for. Mm. You're going to be able to tell that it's Gmail, but then it's going to offer so much more than your basic experience that you have right now that I think people will like it. I think people will probably have something to complain about in the first month or 2 months or 3 months. And then when they look back, they'll be like, how did we even live without that feature? So it's just part of human nature.
That's part of the thing with mobile phones and technology, though, isn't it? You look at these things, and it always staggers me that we sit and talk about these things, these minor tweaks to desperately unimportant things in our lives that are actually really important.
Well, absolutely. The amount of research that goes into putting something like that, it's crazy, especially when it comes to Google. Google is so thorough with testing and A-B testing specifically that they generally always nail it, you know.
And I guess it's designed that we don't notice these small tweaks so much. But then if you were to look 10 years ago, you'd be like, wow, I can't believe we couldn't do that. And we take it for granted now. And I mean, even phones, you think of the kind of mobiles we were using 10 years ago and what you can do on your phone now, how much we all use our phones. You know, you want to transfer money. You want to communicate with someone on the other side of the world. Sure. You can do all of these things through a smartphone. So I guess we notice the sort of small, we don't notice it changing.
Do you know what? There was a picture the other day of, sorry, I didn't mean to get your attention in that way, but there was a picture the other day of the industrial action in France. You know, obviously the trains are not running. So what happened was the photographer had taken a kind of a bird's eye view of all these people just stood waiting around because there's nothing you can do. You have to wait until whatever train comes at whatever time. And what struck me was that everybody was on a phone, but everybody was looking down with, you know, the potential for repetitive strain injury to their neck. And it struck me that it's going to be different in 10 years. I don't know how different it'll be, whether we'll have a heads-up display in our glasses or whatever, but that photo was, in 10 years, is probably going to be, oh, that can only be 2018, you know?
Yeah.
It was kind of immediately dated, even though it was last week.
No, absolutely. And I think you hit it right on the head, but the glasses, I think AR glasses will definitely be the thing of the future. Mm. Not something that's right now, like you see HTC Vive or stuff like that, nothing that bulky, but pretty much what you're wearing right now, Tim. When technology gets to the level where there's enough battery and thinness and weight is just so little, with screens projected right on top of your glass, that's what it is.
It's exciting, isn't it? Exciting
Super
times.
Super exciting, yeah.
In a few minutes' time, we're going to be talking about the scientists that accidentally created a mutant plastic-eating enzyme. We're going to give you a bit more detail on that. But one of the interesting stories we're going to be discussing is this. Find out how Apple might become the Netflix of magazines.
Drive Live talks technology.
We are talking technology. Abbas Jafar Ali is here. He's from Tech Radar, and he's ready and waiting if you have any tech questions or queries. He's more than capable of answering them. We were talking a little bit about this subject yesterday. It was the scientists, and they generally do find quite a lot of important things by accident.
They sure
they may be doing work on something else, and as a result, something else happens, and they're like, wow, this is great. So tell us a bit more about what scientists have found, because it's, you know, you've described it as a mutant.
Sure. So this is a story I read on TechRadar today. I'm not a scientist, and I don't know how these things work in particular, but it was a fascinating story. There was a fact in there that was an eye-opening for me, which was 1 million plastic bottles are produced every minute.
Wow.
That's crazy, isn't it? That's just crazy. I had no idea about that. And where do these end up? Usually at the bottom of an ocean somewhere, you know. And according to the data that we have right now, it takes 400 years for them. No, sorry. Am I doing this wrong? No. Sorry. So it takes, I think, 6 years for them to sort of just completely degrade or something. But these bacteria that they've discovered can do that in 6 weeks.
Wow.
Which is crazy. I mean, which can completely decompose a plastic bottle. And they are looking to supercharge them. These are just like a slightly varied variation of it. You know, if they can do that, the amount of waste that we can get rid of, it's super amazing.
Do you know the stat that you came out with there? We heard that yesterday, 1 million bottles every minute. And I, you know, the sad thing was, I heard that. I mean, it's staggering. It's a staggering number, but I was surprised it wasn't more.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, because I was kind of trying to put it into context in my mind. Look at the number of plastic bottles you walk around now. And it is standard to see somebody carrying a plastic water bottle. If you're out at a, go out at the weekend, somebody's carrying water with you. I mean, that's just a standard thing. Whatever, it doesn't matter. We're wasting too much plastic, but it's so clever. There's an island in the the South Atlantic, I can't remember where it is, which is ever growing, and it is just made up of plastic that is gradually bonding together, threatening marine life. And I just wonder at what point that island becomes not an island, but a continent.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
You know?
Really
no, that
sad.
Is nuts. That is nuts. But what they're doing is they're developing some kind of spray where they can just, you know, spray over these plastic bottles, and hopefully these bacteria will consume these bottles and make them go away much faster.
How great would that be?
That would be amazing.
So what it would do is bring it down to its component parts, wouldn't it? And in theory, then I suppose that's the ultimate recycling. You can then just recycle that bottle.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it goes back into the system. Somebody did text in a question about that yesterday. If that happens, what happens to the microbes? Are they in the bottle there? How do you then separate those microbes out? Is that
from what I read, they're completely safe. I mean, there's absolutely nothing that, you know, concerns as far as safety is concerned.
Really interesting, though, isn't it? Hopefully, that is something that is then goes on to be mass produced, and we all can benefit. Like you say, Tim, we don't want a continent in the middle of the ocean. We're going to move back to some of the tech stuff. You two, just a few minutes ago, we're having a little cozy chat about Samsung phones because, as we know, Tim is a Samsung phone user. So, you were just talking about the S9, mm-hmm. and I guess, if you want to buy another phone, like Tim, you have the previous version, you're thinking, is this a good time for me to do it? Is it a great opportunity for me to do that?
So I think if anyone's got the S8, I wouldn't necessarily recommend them to upgrade to the S9. It's an upgrade, but it's not as big of an upgrade as, you know, some of the older ones. Having said that, if you've got an older phone or if you're really itching to upgrade, it's a good time to buy the S9 or the S9 Plus right now. Samsung's offering trade-in on them. And older phones are worth as much as about 2,000 dirhams. What was quite interesting to me was Samsung's previous flagship, the Note 8, is worth about 1,850 dirhams or somewhere around there. They've put the iPhone 10 over that. So if you bring in your iPhone 10, you get more money than the Note 8, which is Samsung's flagship versus Apple's flagship, which is weird. But, I mean, because, I mean, I understand it's a better tech, better resale value. But as a company, would you sort of place your highest end product to your competitors in a lower price?
Well, maybe it's a shrewd marketing move, though, because if someone's bringing in an iPhone, they're changing.
But I don't think anyone's going to bring in an iPhone 10 to convert to an S9. You know, I just don't see that. If you went and spent 4,000 dirhams on your iPhone, there is no way that you're moving to.
But if you're doing that, as you know, if you're one of the top two and you turn around and do that, you create a. Do you not create a leadership position? I.e., you are really, really confident in your product. Is it a way of showing that?
Look, if I have 4,000 dirhams to spend on a phone, I probably have another 3,000 to buy the S9 without selling the iPhone 10. So, you know, I'd probably have both. Yeah.
You make a good point. And I guess some people, you know, lots of people do have two phones
as well.
You know, they'll have a work phone or they'll have, you know, different uses for their phone. So I guess, yes, of course, if you have 4,000, you probably do have 3,000. 4,000 for a phone.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I still can't get my head around that. We've just been talking about Apple, and I mentioned this because the Netflix of magazines, let's try and understand that concept. When you think about Netflix and then you try and translate that for Apple, thinking about paid subscription when it comes to maybe newspapers, magazines, what could that potentially look like?
So what they're trying to do is they've purchased this company called Texture some time back, and Texture had a service where you pay $10 a month and you had access to about 200 different magazines, Condé Nast, all of them basically, the good ones, allowed you to read every month all the new articles from there on a subscription model. Mm. So Apple's bought them, and chances are that Apple News, that app that actually isn't available in the UAE, it's there in the US and UK and Australia, but they haven't released it here. That becomes a subscription-based service where you've got access to all of the articles from these magazines, and you're just consuming them as you like, as much as you want.
It's interesting, though. I still, with a magazine, something I quite like having that in my hand, and the idea is, I guess a lot of the magazines that I might look at, they do have articles in them, but it's lots about clothes. And you want to see pictures of that, if it's fashion. Do you want to see a big picture, or do you want to see it on a screen? You know, there's something about physically holding the magazine.
So let me ask you this. I mean, we're not there yet, but give it another 5-7 years or whatever. The camera technology on the iPhone 10 is phenomenal. It's got a 3D camera that projects it. Imagine that into your iPad. Now imagine you sort of looking at a picture of some fashion item, and if that camera comes on, takes a picture of you and projects you in that cloth or whatever it is that you're buying right there on your screen. Would that be something of interest to you?
Take my money now. Take it all. That would be very interesting.
Right. So I think the future of it is very bright. Right now, the way we see it might not necessarily sound very appealing. You know, when the iPad was launched originally, I think one of the things that Steve Jobs did at stage was just look at a magazine on the iPad, and he was like, look at this beautiful screen, and you know, you're able to consume magazines on it. didn't happen as I think that he wanted it to. Not many people read magazines on the iPad as much, but I think the future for the technology is quite bright. I mean, when you compare combine AR with this, that's when you start to see a big difference.
Yeah, I thought years ago I would never use a Kindle or anything like that to read a book, and that's changed. And I used to like sort of going in and physically, you know, choosing a book from a bookshop. Can't really do that anymore. You know, so I guess you're right. You get used to things changing and you become more accustomed to things being on a screen.
But people didn't like Kindles, did they? I wasn't going to be a Kindle user, but I love them. But I still read a book. It hasn't killed books in any way. It's been a good thing, I think, in many ways for authors. The other thing with that technology, that hooked you, that thing. I could see myself in that new blouse or whatever. I mean, you can see the attraction of that. But there are so many other applications. If you wanted to, I don't know, see how a sofa would look in your living room if you're a furniture shop. It's that kind of thing that you could do on the fly. The measurements could be there. You could see if it would fit.
Absolutely. So I think that you can do right now with the IKEA app on the iPhone 10.
You can do that now.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they've already kind of done that. It might not necessarily be as fine as you'd like it to be, but it's just the starting steps.
But it is coming, yeah. Totally. It used to be that you go into a showroom and they would have, they'd ask you, you know, how big is your living room? Or how big is your kitchen?
This is a
mock-up of what our new bathroom or kitchen will look like. But yeah, I suppose when it really is your living room and that you can see the sofa there, I would probably be more inclined to buy a lot more stuff that I probably don't need.
I think you would.
Totally. And then imagine once that technology gets into the classes level, like I said, that you're wearing, Tim. I mean, imagine when you're just able to project that straight up. No need for a screen or anything else to look at on your phone. And it's there. It's right there on your glasses. You know?
I have trouble concentrating as it is. I mean, if I've got, you know, magazines in one eye and, I don't know, a route map in the other, I'm going to be going around in circles.
And that's the thing is, if he sits at this side of the desk and there's sport on that screen, we've lost him.
Not looking at NLT, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, we've lost him. He's completely disappeared.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
You're listening to Drive Live. We're talking tech with our guest Abbas Jafar Ali from Tech Radar. He's here as his deputy is away. I guess that's the right way of saying it. We've had a few texts in. Whenever we talk about phones, Abbas, people, it gets people going because they're quite passionate about the kind of phone that they use. So we have this text, no name on it. It says, I've moved to Pixel 2 from iPhone and it's the best decision I've ever made. Pixel 2 was not something I'd heard of. Tim was like, oh, yep, camera's good. Something else. Said something else.
Do you like her impression of me, Abbas? It's not good, is it?
Not at all. But you know what? The Pixel 2 is a fantastic phone. It's Google's phone. It's not officially sold over here. Google doesn't bring their hardware division to the Middle East yet.
Okay.
So hopefully we're hoping when the Pixel 3 launches later in the year, there are rumors that they will bring it. But it's a fantastic phone. I mean, yes, absolutely.
So Pixel 3, look out because big things, will be coming.
Absolutely.
When you say it's fantastic, is it just the camera that makes it
not
so good?
Not just that. So, I mean, it's the perfect phone to experience Android. It is extremely fluid, extremely fast, very zippy, and then you get updates literally on day one. As soon as Android or Google releases them, you have them on the phone. With Samsung or LG or any other vendor, you have to wait until they sort of go in and, you know, test it out, implemented it, put their on the skin. You know, it takes almost sometimes even 6 months for you to get that update. Wow. But with the Pixel, you literally get them on day one.
Okay, Faizan's texting, and he's asking Abbas, which do you recommend over Samsung or an Apple iPhone? He says, I'm an iPhone user. I have an iPhone 7, planning to change the phone. Do you think it's worth moving to the S9 Plus, or should he look at one of the newer iPhones?
So I think it depends on how long he's been an iPhone user. If he's very comfortable with the iPhone, and if he's had the iPhone for the last three generations or four generations, then I'd say stick with iPhone, because you're going to be super comfortable with that. The iPhone 10 is a different enough phone to get you excited about Apple's new operating system and the experience. I mean, if he is an iPhone user, then stick with the iPhone 10. If the iPhone 7 was his first Apple phone, then I'd suggest look into the S9 or the Huawei P20 Pro.
Okay, so let's put aside the marketing hype and the advertising and all the enticements. You know, the trade-in is particularly good at the moment. You are a confirmed Apple user, or were until the S8. The S9 is now your everyday phone.
Sure.
What's the argument, the real crux of why you might want to switch?
Right. Okay. So let's just look at it in two different scenarios, right? I mean, I switched from an iPhone to Android because I consider myself a power user. I also love the beauty of a good UI. Unfortunately, Android's been lacking on that for some time. Right. But I think with the Android 8.0, 7.0, 8.0, that polish started appearing on their OS. So for me, it was a no-brainer. I mean, it lets me do a lot more than iOS does. Happily switched, no looking back, completely fine with it. Having said that, my wife and my daughters are on iPhone, and I would not move them out of an iPhone. I would let them keep the iPhone, use the iPhone, because of two or three different reasons. First of all, security. Apple has a reputation of building a super secure device compared to every other Android manufacturer. Mm. And I believe them in that. I think that it's much easier to get into an iPhone versus an Android device. And it's much harder to track what you're doing if you have an iPhone versus when you have an Android device. It's much easier for things to kind of go wrong as well on an Android device. Look, I mean, you and I are experienced users. We know how the system works, fine. But when you hand out the phone to kids or someone who's not so tech savvy necessarily, I think the iPhone is still the best choice in that.
Oh, I'd struggle. Change is difficult for me anyway. We're going to stay with phones, and this is a Huawei Mate 10 Pro.
P20 Pro.
P20 Pro. Yeah. And it's coming to the UAE soon. If you are into these phones...
Sure. I think it's a fantastic new Android phone from Huawei. I mean, Huawei's come a long way. 5 years back, you know, we barely even talked about them. And here they are with the P20 Pro releasing, which is probably one of the finest phones of this year. It's got three cameras on the back, which is the first time I've seen a phone with three cameras on the back. The first one is a 40 megapixel sensor, which is your color sensor. The second one is a 20 megapixel black and white sensor. And the third one is a telephoto, which is fixed at 3x optical zoom. So combining all those three and working with Leica, which is one of the best photography brands that there is, they have created an incredibly good camera. I mean, the pictures that I've gotten out of the P20 Pro have, I mean, honestly speaking, they're almost DSLR level. They don't compete with other camera phones. They're competing with your digital cameras now. It's that good. And then you combine a nice shape, you know, good features. They need to work a little bit on their software. I think their software is not necessarily the best, but, it's a fantastic phone.
You showed us a fantastic picture that you'd taken. And I think what we expect from a smartphone to be able to take in terms of pictures is changing. Our expectations are just getting higher and higher because they're doing such a good job.
Absolutely. And I think the future of smartphone photography is multiple sensors versus one really good sensor. Look, I mean, we've seen two cameras on the phone. Huawei's come up with three now. And I wouldn't be surprised if in another 2 to 3 years, we see five cameras on the phone fixed in different positions, different focal lengths, different ISO levels, and then the software then making the decision for you on how to get the best out of each of those, combining the picture from all of those sensors and, you know, giving you a magnificent image quality.
It's just incredible, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed. It is. I was blown away by the picture that you showed me. Finally, very quickly, this story that you brought about Bitcoin being declared halal.
Right.
Tell us more.
So there's a scholar in Indonesia, and he sort of declared that, yes, it is, according to Sharia law, it's legal to sort of, do business in Bitcoin, trade Bitcoins. It's always been a bit of a sticky point for a lot of people, a lot of Muslims, whether Bitcoin is something that they could sort of, from a religious point of view, invest in or not. And I think this is the first time, at least, that I've heard where some kind of religious authority acknowledges that, yes, you can do that. Their decision was based on the fact that Germany recognizes Bitcoin as an actual currency. You know, there are people willing to trade in Bitcoin. So that was what his decision was based on. People have been doing it. Honestly speaking, it's part of my work to research into how these things work. So I've traded in that as well. But, I'm sure that it's a lot more comforting for a lot more people to hear that from a religious point of view, it is something that they could work with.
Well, you would think so. I mean, whether or not this has led to a jump in the value of Bitcoin, you can't be absolutely
Correct.
Sure yet. But
absolutely.
It looks as though it may have contributed to a jump.
I mean, look, I think Bitcoin went up by $1,000 last week, which is a massive hike in price considering it's been falling. It was at 20,000 end of last year. Now it's at 8,000. So it's lost a lot of its value. If there are a lot more people willing to invest in it, there's a good chance that it kind of goes back up as well.
Okay, that's all we've got time for on Drive Live Talks Tech for this week. Abbas Jaffer Ali is from Tech Radar. Abbas, really, really lovely to have
Always
you
a pleasure.
Studio.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.